Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought us here to hear your word. Lord, I ask that you would speak through me, that my words would be your words, and that we would be changed by them, because your words are life. Mold us into people of prayer so that we can join with Paul and say that we pray without ceasing. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Simple, powerless, ineffective. Do you feel that your words when it comes to prayer are sometimes one of those? Have you ever sat in a group Bible study and as it kind of got towards the end, you've worried more about what you're going to say than actually the time that you spent praying at the end? I know when I'm with the youth and you kind of say, hey, would somebody like to pray? The eyes quickly kind of look down, and you know that one, the one kid's going to say, how about they do it, you know, because they don't want to do it themselves. Or even when you ask, you know, will you pray? No, I'm just not real comfortable. What do I say? What if I mess up? You know, often when we come to prayer, we're not quite comfortable. We're not in that comfort zone where we can just do it. We wonder, you know, am I going to say something wrong? And prayer is such an amazing thing for us. God wants us in this wonderful relationship, and he does. You know, as Hannah was just mentioning, you know, you talk as a friend to a friend, and it's just lay it out there. We can call our best friends. We can call someone and just talk. I know there's some people in here that can talk for hours. You know, and God wants us to draw close. God wants to not just hear from us, but to also bless us through this relationship, through these prayers. You know, Jesus prayed all the time. We see in the scripture that early in the morning he would go out and he would pray to the point where the disciples were wondering where he's at, you know, and they have to go out and find him out there on the mountainside. You know, if Jesus is doing it, and he is God, and he has this wonderful relationship with the Father, how much more do we need that in our lives? To be in communion with God, in connection with him through, yes, his word, as we talked about last week in our prayers towards him. We don't have to fear. We don't have to kind of get out of our comfort zones because God has done it for us. Not only does Jesus pray, but it's through his work that we can pray and not have to fear. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden were told, if you eat of the apple or the fig, whatever you want to say, of the fruit of the tree, you're going to die. When they ate it, they died spiritually. And their flesh took over, their sinful flesh, and what do? They flee from God. That's the sinful flesh. It is to run away from God, to hide, to form your own, you know, fig leaf covering so that you can distance yourself from God. What is prayer? Total opposite. It's running towards God. It's saying that here's the answer. And why can we do that? Because Adam and Eve had every right to fear, every right to run, because they had done what God told them not to do. And God could have wiped them off, said, I'm done, no more, I'm going to start over, or whatever. But instead, he gives them a promise. Genesis 3:15, that first gospel message. As he stands Adam and Eve and even the serpent in front of him, and he says, your offspring and the woman's offspring, I'm going to create division. I'm going to create hatred. And your offspring will strike her offspring's heel, but he will crush your head to the serpent. And we know that Christ, the God in flesh, Jesus, crushes the head of the serpent. So that we who are now connected to him through faith, through the waters of holy baptism, and have died with him in his death and rose to him with him in new life, we have the wonderful righteousness of Christ on us so we can run to God. We don't have to flee. We don't have to stay away in fear Because, yes, when we sin, do we die? Well, physically, yes, but we also know that Christ dies. That he dies for me so that I would have life. I know I mentioned this before, but I love it. When it comes to prayer, Psalm 22, Jesus prays. If you know that psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's a psalm that Jesus cries out on the cross so that we can pray Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We don't have to run, we can run to. We don't have to fear. And so the more that we're in the comfort zone of God, we can pray, we can cry out to him. I hope, again, that you're working through the scriptures and you're reading them and you're hearing his promises over and over again so that you're comforted by them, so that you can cry out. It's a wonderful blessing. We have access to the throne room of God. Esther. Esther in the Old Testament. If you don't know about Queen Esther, go read that book. It's a wonderful short story. But Esther was going to go and go before the king. And she could easily have been killed. No one went before the king unless they were invited, or the threat of death was there. And unless the king reached out his scepter and touched her, she was going to be beheaded. And she goes and she offers up her plea before the king. And the king says, come here. And he listens. She becomes queen and the Jews are saved. And if that's Esther, how much more, because of Christ, we can go to the throne room of God and lay out our petitions, because Christ has blessed us. You know, prayer is easy, and in some ways it's hard, yes. So what are some practical things? What are some things that we can be doing? And I was studying this, and I came to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, and Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And I don't know about you, but when I think of Paul, I think of, you know, if you can't see, it's a map, and there's the Mediterranean Sea down here, and those are all his missionary journeys. I think of Paul as a man of action. All the places he went, you know, as he's preaching here and converting people here, and he was shipwrecked here, and he was stoned here, and all of that, and thrown in prison over and over again, and went before this magistrate and this person and all the way to Rome as that one orange one. I know there's a clicker on here or laser pointer, but the one goes all the way to Rome and maybe even to Spain and all of that. Through all that, over and over, he has 13 books or 13 letters, epistles in the scriptures. And over he talks about prayer. Romans 1, I remember you in my prayers at all times. Ephesians 1, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy. I mean, Paul just keeps going. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we always thank God for you and continually mention you in our prayers. It's just amazing. Philemon, verse 4, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. So yes, Paul is a man of action, and he goes and a man of proclamation, but it's a man of prayer, because he understands where he has to be connected to and have that relationship with. Wonderful. And so as we look at his prayers, 18 times he tells us what he's praying for in those 13 epistles. And a majority of the time, it starts out with, first of all, I give thanks. First of all, I thank my God for you. And I don't think it's just, you know, as you kind of remember, if you had this in confirmation, the Acts, prayer, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, that one's first, and then everything else comes rest. I think it's more that this is the thing that ties it all together. That Thanksgiving needs to be in with everything. Why? Because Thanksgiving takes us off of our issues and puts them back on God, right? I mean, think about it practically. If you're having a busy day, and you want to pray, you get up and you're thinking about all your day. Well, I got to get to my board meeting at 9 o'clock, and there's a person there that I don't really get along with, so Lord, guide my words. My daughter has a 4 o'clock basketball game that she's asked me to go to, so I really want to be there, and my wife wants some alone time so that we can talk about our kids and talk about where we're going in life, and I have all these other things to do, and if it's all that, pray for it, don't get me wrong, but what is it all on? It's all on me. And so I think Paul takes us back. And if we're given thanks, it's all not on what's coming, but it has to be on the past, right? What God has done. You can't give thanks for something that hasn't happened yet. But you can give thanks on what God has done in your life and where he has taken you from. And that's the wonderful blessing that when we say thank you, it's because of God has done something. We can say thank you because Jesus says it is finished there on the cross. We can say thank you because God has got us to this point. God has given us health. God has blessed us. God has helped us. God has done all these things. And then we don't have to worry about it because we know that he's going to do it. Throughout the Old Testament, we often see that they are called to remember the mighty works of God, to cry out and thank him for the deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt. Why? Because then they would know that he will not forsake them today. Go back. Give thanks always. It's a wonderful thing. And Paul does this so much. Romans 1:8 again. First, I thank my God. First, I thank my God. 2 Corinthians 9. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks. All that we do is thanks. I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Paul is talking to these people, but we in our lives are thankful. And I know there's a lot of talk about gratitude these days, being grateful. And maybe you've even had a gratitude journal. I've seen those before. It's good, but it kind of misses it, doesn't it? My kids are grateful for pizza on Friday night. They're not so grateful for Brussels sprouts on Monday, but what is thanks? Thanks isn't about what you receive, right? It's about who's giving it. And so when we focus on God, it's not about what it is, it's about rather who is in control. And so even then, in life, thank you, God. In death, thank you, God. In riches, thank you, God. In poor times, thank you, God. In rain and in drought, whatever it is, thank you. Because we know you're good. And I might not be getting exactly what I want or where I'm going, but I know that you are with me, and so I will say thank you. Another thing that Paul does, as we follow him, as he follows Christ, he uses these three words, faith, love, and hope. And as Hannah was talking about it earlier, you might have said, well, they're out of order. Because often we hear 1 Corinthians, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. But that's the one that's actually out of order, because all through the scriptures, Paul prays this, faith, love, and hope, as he does in 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 through 4. I always give thanks, there he is again, God, for all of you, mentioning you in my prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus. That's the way Paul really hits on this, and Corinthians is actually the odd one out, that it's faith. We pray for faith. We pray for love. We pray for hope. You want to know what to pray for over your kids? You want to know what to pray over yourself? Those three words. How awesome is that? Lord, increase my faith. Increase my belief in you, because I know that by my flesh, I don't come to you, but rather you enlighten me so that I see you as Lord. Lord, help me. Send your Spirit upon me. Lord, let me go forth in love. Remember, as we talked about this, we're running this race, and it's not just for us. Paul is worried about being disqualified because he's not preaching the gospel to others. We must go forth in love and then hope. That we would have hope. I think this is a big one. Often we think about, you know, doctrine and practice, faith and love. But hope is huge. You know, in just conversations I had over the last couple days, this world is messed up. And there's a lot of bad things going on. And maybe it even looks like Satan is winning in certain areas. But that God would increase the hope in us. That yes, Christ is victorious. That the King is coming to rule again at the right time. And so let us continue to walk in faith and love as we look forward to the hope that is there for us. Give us endurance. Give us hope in the wonderful life to come. Follow me as I follow Christ, Paul says. Well, what does Christ say? How does he teach us to pray? We'll say it earlier. I know he's hard to see, but he gives us exactly what to pray for. And I know there's always the debate, do we pray the Lord's Prayer? Is it a model prayer? Either way, he teaches us what to pray for. I think if it's left up to us, we'd pray for the fourth and fifth petition. Our stomachs tells us, I need daily bread. And so I'm going to keep praying for that one all the time. And maybe my conscience a little bit knows that I've done things wrong. So forgive me my trespasses or forgive me my debts. But then there's all the rest that Jesus says, you need this. Pray for it. Pray for the kingdom to come. Pray that his name would be hallowed. Pray that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. We need this. And so he gives us this wonderful prayer to pray. And if you're even struggling, there it is. There's your prayer. Pray it. Because we are called to be in a relationship with God, to call upon him in prayer, to use his name correctly. You know, second commandment issues. How do we do that? Prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. Let us be people of prayer as we follow him, as we increase in faith, love, and hope. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that through the work of your Son, we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear if our prayers won't live up to what you want, and so therefore you're going to judge us and condemn us, but that in Christ we are your children, and you just want to have a relationship with us. You want us to communicate with you, and we thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit when we don't know what to say and we say the wrong things, that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with words and moans and groans that words can't express. Thank you. Let us see your wonderful works in our lives, and let us be thankful as we cry out to you in prayer, as we lay it all before you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know,